Hi.
Hold on. Somehow the there we go. Hi, everybody. So good to see you all. I feel like for those of you that came to the shadow retreats, I saw you in two groups. So I'm glad that it's like a true integration, not just of the shadow, but of everyone who is either able to come or not able to come. We're integrating back together. So I know that not all of you are able to be here, but for those of you that are here, I'm so glad that you're here. Before we jump into our work for today, I sent you an email, but I want to remind you, we're not done. A lot of times after the shadow retreat is like, oh my God, what more can happen after that? But there is still more. And in 2 weeks, I think it's in 2 weeks, we have our last retreat, which is the Wise Warrior Technique retreat. Many people actually say that that's their favorite of everything, because we kind of bring everything together in some really cool and different and unexpected ways. So I can't wait for us to dive into that material. And we're going to be looking at different ways of internal and setting internal and external boundaries. I think in some ways that you know, and then in many ways that you haven't thought about before. But for today, we are here to talk about shadow. And for some of you here, you just came off of our shadow retreat. And so for you, it's like, I'm really happy everybody's coming together because for the people that like just finished, you have some really like fresh thoughts that you're going to share. And it's going to remind the people that either weren't able to attend or were here in March. And then for those of you that were here in March, hopefully some of you, it's been marinating, you've been working on the techniques for yourself or for others, you're going to have a different kind of insight. And I also have a little bit, we'll see where the day takes us or the session takes us, but I have some little extra things I'm going to kind of hone in on as well. So, all that being said, I'm going to start like I start all of our integration sessions. Oh, actually, no, sorry. That's not how I'm going to start. I'm going to start this way. I meant to say, we're going to start with a quiz. So, what is shadow? What is shadow? Who wants to share? You can put it in the chat. You can raise your hand. What is shadow in a Jungian sense? Yeah, Tina, go ahead.
The parts of ourselves that we reject and hide.
Yes. The parts of ourselves that we reject and hide. That is one excellent way to define it, and a big way that we look at it in the retreats. You weren't even at the retreat, and you know. Yay. Caroline is saying in the chat, shadow is energy too, right? We looked at that. The shadows are archetypes, and they hold archetypal energies, and either we own the energy and harness it and use it. But if we don't, if we've disowned the energy, suppressed it or repressed it, then that energy owns us, right? And makes us do things out of accident or compelled to do that we're like, how did that just happen? Deva saying in the chat, the shadow is the parts of ourselves that we have buried or disowned and often have shame around. Yes, that is another great working definition. And I like that you're bringing the shame piece, which is so important, right? Usually we've disowned these parts or cut ourselves or disenfranchised or hidden these parts because we think that they are bad. We think that they are wrong. We are ashamed that we have them inside of ourselves. Anything else that wants to be shared by way of definition of the shadow, or what is shadow? Oh, Veronica is saying unclaimed desires. Yes. And so this is the thing that is so ironic. And one of the many reasons why we want to work with shadow, with ourselves and with our clients, because embedded in these parts of ourselves that we've repressed or suppressed or buried or hidden or disowned are desires, right? If we have selfishness in shadow, we actually deeply, deeply want more. Like we want more, whatever, like to be more selfish, right? We want more for ourselves. If we have power in shadow, there is an unclaimed desire, right? We might be ashamed. Oh my God, I'm worried. I'm a power hungry person. But inside of that is an unclaimed shadow and also a superpower, right? Of like being empowered. If we have laziness in shadow and we're ashamed, and I could never, ever be lazy, there is that unclaimed desire and also a superpower of learning how to relax more and have more space. Good. Good, good. Okay, so then with that, let's keep on going. And I'd love to hear either what's been resonating for you the most. Tina, Maria's asking for you to repeat what you said.
I said that shadow is a part of you that you have rejected and that you hide.
Yes, exactly. So what's been resonating? Where have you seen your claimed or unclaimed shadows show up? What have you been working on for yourself or your clients? And I know some of you have had a few weeks, some of you it's still new, but you can still share. I have a feeling even on some plane rides home, some awarenesses came to the surface as well. So who wants to share? What have you been seeing? What have you been noticing? How have you been working with it? What wants to be shared on all of this? And where do you have questions? Or have you not been working on it? Have you let the shadows slip back into the shadows? Of course, they won't go there completely once you've brought them out.
Wendy's raising her hand. I don't know
if I didn't
you can
see
see
that.
It.
Oh, thanks, Deva. Wendy, go ahead. Do you need me to take you off mute? Hold on.
My Zoom screen for some reason is all different, and I can't find the raise your hand. So I figured, you know, my big thing in our retreat was like speaking up and being seen. And so I definitely taking that with me. I've been working very hard with connecting with my confident one and being seen. And part of the exercise when you had to kind of act it out and like I
on steroids.
Yeah, I feel that so much. And like a lot of what I, part of what I mentioned was like, nothing bothers me. I am just like, all is great. Nothing bothers me. And I've taken that like a step further and really have applied that about nothing bothering me to my daily life. And it has been really quite spectacular because it is just going with the flow and not dwelling on things that I could have, like, you know, and just what is, what is. And yeah, so I really connected in with that feeling. And as I said, I feel like I've taken it even a step further, which I'm very grateful for.
It's so great. So first of all, you were the first person to share and be big and be seen and take up space. Yay! That would not have happened a year ago. I love it. Yes. And I love how you've taken it a step further. And I hear, like, as you're talking, it's not that you're bypassing feelings if feelings need to be felt, but it's more like you're not getting mired down into, oh, and that, and that, and that, but you're allowing yourself to stay in the flow and yes, yay, so great. I'm so happy to hear it. And as a reminder for everyone on shadow, you know, Wendy, the exercise that Wendy was talking about was a lean in exercise, right? And this is one of the foundational principles of working with shadow. We want to support our clients to lean into the places that scare them so much, that they were, have been so ashamed of, that they've wanted to run away from, right? So in Wendy's case, Wendy totally took on the persona of being big and not caring what other people think, if they see you being big and saying what you think. And it's not like then you're going to be this obnoxious person out in the world doing it, but it helps you grab the superpower. And as Veronica said, I love how she put it, that unclaimed desire, and bring it more into yourself. Awesome. Else? What's been resonating? What have you been noticing? What's been feeling important, or how have you been working with it for yourself or with others? Veronica.
In the last few days, was anticipating this call and was thinking, oh my goodness, how have I not done anything with the shadow since then? Because I was like, as much as I love the prompts, I haven't like formally sat down and done things. But then I started thinking about it and went, oh, holy shit, I've been working this the whole entire time. So two main pieces. One, immediately I could feel and sense myself exercising that power with my partner, but in a way that invites him in to like consent to whatever it is that I'm putting out there, but really speaking my own desires more clearly. And it's been met with like not even the blink of an eye, like yes or no or whatever it is. It's been lovely to see that almost immediate sort of change. And then the other pieces, I'm laughing because I've always wanted a Jeep Wrangler since I was a little girl, and I bought one a couple weeks ago. But everything around this has been like, talk about the world moving and bending to your will. There was a whole bunch. I went out of state. I drove to LA to get it. But there was a whole piece of when I was going back and forth with them that they were like, okay, great. So you're going to come Saturday. We don't have the title yet. The lien holder hasn't released it to us from the previous person, but we should have it in like 20 days. And I'm like, that's not good for me. I'm not going to take delivery of this without a title and take it back to my state. What other creative solutions can you come up with? And kept on them for a few days. And lo and behold, they came up with it and had it overnight FedEx to them the day I was going to get there. So I have this like a beautiful teal out loud, like gigantic, ridiculous brick of a car that's totally impractical. But my inner child was like, fuck yes, this is everything that you've wanted. And now I can be out and bounce around and be in nature the way that my shadow wanted to be. It's a bright blue that everyone will stare at me. And there's parts of me that are like, oh my God, I can't be this visible. People are looking, cops might look at me. What is happening? I can't blend into the background, but it's like a safe-ish way of living into more visibility that I can tell will carry over into other pieces too. And every time I look at it, I smile. Like getting groceries is fun. So I'm pleased at the way that like the buying a car has been a spiritual experience in a way, and all of this has been shadow work.
Yes, 100%. And I got chills when you said it early on that you exercised your power, right? Because that is so much about what you were working with. And we can just see all those ways. And then people bended to your will. And this happened and that happened. And then this kind of side piece of like, and yeah, and that is more visible. Right, which is you weren't working on directly, but definitely adjacent to it. So this is a way to play with that as well. So nicely done. So nicely done. Good. Kelly.
So celebrating those. I feel like I've done a little bit of the homework, not all the homework. I have ideas about the homework. But I feel like I'm doing the homework every day. And probably for the first 2 weeks, the song that I sent out to our group about from The Greatest Showman, I was like dancing it every single day and like really getting into it and stomping my feet, and probably our downstairs neighbor was like, "What is going on up there?" And I was like so feeling it. And now I haven't been doing that as much, but it's just there. Like it is dancing through me. And I can just feel how much has shifted in all these little and big ways. And even in like launching my program, I didn't have the outcome that I said I wanted, but I am launching it from that queen, like really powerful energy. And mine, for those of you that were at a different retreat, mine was the bitch kind of morphed into the queen, but she's got some bitch energy too. But like really from this place of leading. And even right now, I've life on the outside, there's like all these things coming up right now. And I just sent you a note on this, Joanne. I don't know if you saw it, but I also read this book, The Surrender Experiment, this weekend. And it's like somehow I am like merging what I just got from that book with this other energetic work that I've been doing with the shadow work. And I am like, I literally just feel like I am being completely, or like I've been dismembered. In the shamanic world, we call it like dismemberment. And then it's like you're being remembered. And I just like literally in my energetic, I feel like I'm being remembered. And it's like the things I speak, they're just kind of like I'm just trusting more. It's like the things are coming out of my mouth and flowing, and I'm not having to prepare a bazillion things. And there are just some, like, there were some challenges that came up the other day, and I took a walk and I was like, yo, here's how this is gonna go. I was like, I don't know how this needs to happen. What's that?
No, keep on going.
Yeah. And I was like, are you effing kidding me? It had to do with like the medical establishment. And I like literally sat down and had it and sit. I was walking and I just had this talk with the universe. I was like, this is how it's gonna go. I need someone in this like format. And it needs to be in the next 30 minutes. The next 30 minutes, like I had an appointment. It was
Yes.
just like,
And right, that's the energy that you were working with. That is the aligned bitch, queen, right? Whatever title you ended up at the end, right? That direct, that is confident, is willing to be seen, is willing to say it like it is, and focused in that way. And so, first of all, yay! Like so much yays. And I want to pull a couple things from what you're saying. So again, I cannot emphasize this enough, but we have to be willing to lean into what grosses us out, right? That we're worried that we have inside of us, like the most shameful thing ever, in order to grab onto that medicine, right? Which clearly you're doing, Veronica, Wendy, right? Like all the shares we've heard so far. Number two, the thing, one of the things that Kelly mentioned, and this is important for all of us, is okay, you haven't done the homework perfectly, but coming back to working on it, right? Not having it be a once and done, leaning in and leaning in and leaning in. So for those of you that weren't able to make it to one of the retreats, you can still do this in a way for yourselves. Pick a part of yourself that you don't particularly like, that you wish you didn't have, that you're ashamed of. Anything you've all received, for those of you last week, you'll receive the email, all the different homeworks over the next week and a half. Do those homeworks, make a collage, do a dance, do the journaling, but be willing to be in the energy over and over and over again. Such good stuff. Yay. Who else? Yeah, Tina, go ahead.
I just have a question, just listening to you about the people who didn't go there and what would you go over. Can an autoimmune be part of shadow self, a piece of that you don't like about yourself, even though it just happened one day?
Tina, I just got chills when you said that, and I feel like this could be such power, like so powerful for you, right? What would be possible for you if you, in a more empowered way, owned the autoimmune and were able to mine it even more for its gold? That doesn't mean that there aren't going to be shitty days or it's not going to do what it's going to do, but how would you be different because of it?
Yeah. And I feel like you've been reaching me through osmosis somehow through that retreat, because since last month, one of the things I'm niching down to is business coaches for female entrepreneurs with chronic illness. Because I just spent so much time suppressing it and making it, you know, go away and doing everything I can nutritionally or whatever, that I keep rejecting it, but it keeps coming back no matter what.
That's right. Because like any shadow, it is a part of you, mm-hmm. right? You can't actually cut it off or hide it or pretend like it's not there. And the longer that you hate on it and shame on it and try to push it away, then the more it has control over you in one way or another. And that's complicated with illness, right? So to whatever extent that's going to be. And the more that you can, right, open up the possibility for it to shift and change and like impact you in lighter and lighter and lighter ways, that doesn't have to be separate from owning it and not hating on it and being ashamed of it. And then taking it a step further, if possible, which I think it is, which is like, what are the superpowers inside of it? Maybe, I don't know.
Such a fine line with that, because there's like one part of you that doesn't want to be identified by it because it's not who you are. So then you just reject it and hope for the best. And then there's the other part of you that says, well, you can't ignore it anymore. It's there and it's a part of you. And now you have to love yourself to death, you know?
That's right. That's right. And I think it's not identifying with it in the sense of like, and now this dictates everything, but it's more about identifying with it as, you know, this is a part of me, at least right now. May not be in the future, but so long as it is a part of me, I'm not going to hate on it, because hating on it is hating myself.
Thanks.
Is there something more you want to say? What?
No, it's just been a hard time this year with it, that's all.
I know. Yeah, it has been. And what I want most for you is to not only have compassion, but not feel disempowered, even when it's like, when, yes, there are shitty moments, right? And more than moments sometimes, but to not feel overarching disempowered because of it.
I'm actually, I feel like I've made a breakthrough, but more can be done.
Yeah, it sounds like you're going there. And I love that this is how you're pivoting your work, because more people need this. Yes. And you have so much to share around it. So much.
You. Thank you.
Right.
Just want to check in first, since I saw Vlada raise her physical hand, if Vlada wanted to share.
We'll get Vlada next. Thanks for telling me.
I'm not sure where I want to begin, but it, after, you know, when we did our little group of three being in the energy of our shadow, and for me, you know, it being the, I forget how I phrased it, but the arrogant asshole, because I don't, you know, and I didn't want to receive accolades, receive acknowledgement for my gifts, and I was noticing as we started that, like, you know, the thoughts in my head, I don't know how I'm going to do this. What does it look like to be in the energy of this? And I was just so excited by the way the energy was coming out of me. That's why I wanted to share it with the whole group. And so that in itself was great. But then I shared this with the group of us that was there together. But that a couple weeks later, I was in a friend's birthday party, and she did what she calls a vulnerable sharing cabaret. And so I shared my journey of sharing that piece, and then shared the same piece over again with that group. And it was so great to be in that energy again, and to get the reflection, both of people who don't know me and of people who have known me for many, many years, of seeing what it was like to witness me in that energy. And that has resonated throughout my life, and resonated in what I came into the retreat not knowing what shadow I wanted to work on, but just knowing I wanted it to impact the marketing in my business and how I'm showing up for that. And it has, and noticing like the fears and anxieties that come up when I go to hit send on a newsletter or something else, and noticing, oh, that's just stories, and I don't have to live from those stories. And it's felt really good to do that, and then to take in and fully receive. I mean, there have been many ways that I was already receiving energy, but there've been certain aspects where I don't allow myself to. And so noticing where I'm allowing myself to receive that now has felt really good.
I love it. So first of all, it was just, I'm having images of you again, in that evocation, and just how glorious it was to behold you in your power and empowering everyone else through that. I love that you had opportunity to share that in front of a different group. And it actually speaks so much that you were willing to share that in front of others, like how far you're coming with this energy and owning and integrating it. So I was so, so happy to hear it. And fears come up before you hit send. That's part of my process. I have this concern, but I'm going to hit send anyway. Right. Mm-hmm. so, so nicely done. I'm so happy to hear it. And thank you for reminding us of another one of the pieces, which is those evocations, right? Come back, read them to yourself, you know, be in that energy, pave it and pave it and pave it. Love it. Love to hear it.
Yeah, it's really powerful for me to do that. I mean, one, to be in the energy of it, but also to, you know, some of the words that I use are the very things that trigger me and like, no, but I don't want to be that thing. And so knowing I'm not that thing and I'm giving myself permission and I'm giving other people permission feels so valuable to like recycle that over and over.
Yes. I love it. Yeah. And there's something about the recycling it over and over that desensitizes to the shame around it, right? It just starts to become a regular thing. Like, yeah, and I am this. Yeah, right? But there is like that desensitization process when we repeat and we repeat and we repeat.
Yeah. Nice. The not wronging of it.
That's right. That's right. Lada.
Wow, so inspiring to hear everyone. I feel like similarly, I was feeling like, oh, I'm not doing much around this. And then I'm just revisiting as everybody's speaking, like, well, it's the point of view that we have on what's happening. And I realized that the shadow that I was working with the most was this, like, being this creature that allows to have, like, luxurious moments, and not only luxurious moments, like, having this, like, very luxurious life, and how criticized that is by society, that is, like, you have to have a hard life and work hard and all of these, like, you're so privileged to have these, like, fine, bubbly life and fetters and stuff. And so I can see that I'm allowing myself, despite that my body's is fighting it and my mind is fighting it, but I'm realizing that I'm just letting myself being that space, however uncomfortable it is. Like, I have a number of urgent projects that are burning my head, but I have to let them, like, fly away and allow myself the luxuriousness of, like, really slowing down and just being in whatever emotions are coming from having to, from letting go of my house of 22 years with all the memories and all the creations and all the people who were born or almost died here, all this stuff. It's like, it's a luxury to have this space. And yeah, it's part of that process of just being that frivolous part of me that I'm not allowing myself to have is the part that is denied to so many of us, that you have to be doing. This is
and you have to suffer and earn your keep.
Yeah.
All the things. So I hear that it's like, it's uncomfortable, which is okay, right? Discomfort is a sign of growth, but that you're actually in your way, you're sticking with it, right? And saying, where can I have more luxury within this situation, within this situation? Am I willing to allow this to myself, even when I have a million things on my mind? Am I willing to just, like, allow this to myself and learn to be okay with it? And that's huge.
Yeah. Yeah. And for the first time, I started sharing some pieces that were totally unpolished and were talking about like the anxiety of going through this process. And yeah, it feels great to share very openly about it.
Yeah, that's another way of
phenomenal and great.
That's another way of working with it. And I'm so glad you found that intuitively, right? Sharing with our communities, because that you're owning it and you're being seen in the owning it. That's shadow work. Right.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. Deva.
Hi, everybody. Yeah, I can totally relate to that, Vlada, of like this kind of like we have to suffer. And what came up for me at the end of the retreat was this confrontational piece of, well, I was working with the extremes, the hyper of being a mess or being like super OCD. And yeah, I've been finding it really interesting. I too just moved out of my former abode of 12 years, even though I've been living in this house with my partner for a year. I didn't really like claim it as my home because I still had everything on the other side of the fence. And I was like, oh, this is just the test run, but that's my home, even though I wasn't there. And so we had our 3-year anniversary, and it was coincided with like, it's been a year or over a year of you having this, you know, we need to free up your house for someone else in the community. And I totally underestimated so many things about like how much time it was going to take to move, because I still had everything there, or not, I don't know, a lot of stuff. But then like yesterday, I finally wrote this newsletter to my group of like personal update, like I've moved and like claimed this as my home. And then I'm relating to Vlada to like, and it feels so good and giddy, and like, and I feel a little guilty because it's like this insanely gorgeous house that I'm like, holy shit, holy shift. This is my home now, and this is my world, and I'm in this, you know, very committed relationship, and I have like another level of admiration and respect for my partner. And, you know, he also has a loft in San Francisco. So like the road's gone out in Big Sur again, we're an island, everything's closed down until the end of May. And I'm like, oh, but I can like, there's two convoys a day. So we're calling it the ferry. We can leave at 7 a.m. leave our inter at 7 or 5 p.m. and that's it. Otherwise we're like stuck in Big Sur or out of Big Sur, except for those two times. But just really seeing like how much of like unbearing of worthiness and keeping that aligned center of like, yes, I have in many ways a very charmed life, and I've also done so like owning and acknowledging like how much work I've done over the last 25 years of like putting myself like pilgrimage after pilgrimage of like soul searching and unpacking. And then like I can just rest in it, like I don't have to try and struggle as hard, like it's okay to just kind of relish in like life is actually, despite my family won't talk to me, but all of these things are like really, really beautiful and good.
So I'm so, so glad to hear it. I know, I think the last I heard about the move, it was like right before, and there was so much churning, and it feels like exactly like you're in your power with it. You know, you deserve it. You're leaning into like the luxury and the beauty, and that I get to have this. And I do think it's not exactly related to the, like, to the confrontation piece you were working on the retreat, but I think it's adjacent to it, because it's saying like, I deserve, right? So much of the confrontation is like, I deserve to say what I'm thinking, right? Mm-hmm. And have that voice. And there is a big piece in this of like, I deserve to, and that doesn't take away from anybody else's deserve.
And that's huge, because when I was young, my mom and I got in this argument, and I said something to like, well, I think I deserve, and maybe it was like a new pair of pants because my sister got in, and she said, you don't deserve anything. If you get anything, it's because God gives it to you, but you don't. And she like pointed her finger, you don't deserve anything. And I've held that as like, I don't deserve anything. And now to be able to be like, I deserve this, or even that's like still really,
no, I feel it. Like, I feel it as you're saying, right? And that incident came out of you speaking your needs to be met and to get that, right? So then we can see even more how the confrontation piece is, you know, so connected in with the like, do I really deserve, right? So yeah, it feels like you're working on both together, and I'm so, so happy you get to take pleasure in your home. Yay. I know it's really soon for the people that just came back on Friday. You're probably still in the like transition back process, but I do want to make space, even though, and first of all, I hope that this is inspiring for all of you. You're seeing what is, you know, like as you move along in time. But I would like to make space for some of you that were here in Charlotte last week. What's resonating for you? What's feeling important? Caroline.
I think honestly, the biggest thing for me is I feel more present, which is really my intention from when we first started. But I'm really, 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 really tired.
Yeah.
Really tired.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, I don't have much more like.
It's okay. No, you don't have to apologize. But having words, you should be tired. Mm-hmm. As I kept on saying, I worked y'all really hard.
Yeah.
And I'm also happy to hear that you're feeling present. And I think it relates to what you were working on too, mm-hmm. right? Like, cause look at what you just said, Caroline.
That's true.
And I don't have the words, right? I don't like, this is exactly what you were working on. And you were able to just say, yeah. And both, I am fully present and I don't have the words. Yeah. So just right there, big.
Right? Thank you.
Yeah. Jennifer.
I feel the same. I just texted Caroline. I'm like, I am so exhausted right now. I can't focus. I'm sorry. I think so. Two things. The biggest shift for me was that anger exercise that I did. Like, there's such a shift in me, and the empowerment that I feel is really incredible. It was really big for me because I don't allow myself to get angry. So to be able to, and I had a hard time getting there, but then once I got there, that just was incredible. And then two, I had a phone call today with an organization that reached out to me. They found me via social media to be one of their secular resources for post-abortion healing, which I thought was really cool because they are a Christian organization, but they want resources for women who aren't Christians that want, yeah. So we had a really great conversation. It was really cool. Yeah. I just felt so empowered on the call, and yeah, it was really awesome.
It's related exactly to what had the anger rise last week. It's such a beautiful from there. And for those of you that were not with us in person last week, Jennifer did amazing work, not just for herself, but for all of us in the group around, we did a ritual around letting anger rise and be voiced, and something that we all need, right? Something that we all need. Melanie.
So nice to hear all of these shares from everyone. Gosh, thank you. And Caroline, I am with you with the tired. I slept 13 hours when I got home. It was so necessary. Part of the fatigue, of course, was the work that was done. The other part was this area where I've been suffering with my family and not getting much sleep since before I came to the retreat. And last night, I had a dream. And the bit that I can remember was kind of trying to get to the bathroom and walking through, opening the door, and it's just like this giant cesspool. I mean, it was fluid and flowing. And in the toilet area, you couldn't even see it because there was all this shit with Pepto-Bismol like coming out of it. It was the weirdest strangest picture. And this morning, and I apologize for being late, but my cousin called me to let me know that a friend had died. And that conversation led into me actually with ease and gratitude and joy being able to step into my truth teller, the power of my truth teller, the power of my, I'm going to speak up. And this is a cousin I've had difficulty with, but not a cousin that the cousins I'm struggling with now. And I laid some serious truth on her. I mean, it was a conversation and it was so wonderful. And as all of these things go, is as soon as you speak your truth, they speak theirs. And then you get the whole or a bigger picture. And I said to her, my God, I wish I had spoken with you years ago. Mm. It was so, so, so wonderful. And I thought, great. I emerged from the shit show. Or I was willing to step into it.
That's right.
It was really, it was sort of, Joanna, what were you saying earlier to someone? If it's icky, you got to really be willing to lean into it. Well, I went like, so it was really, really wonderful.
I'm so happy to hear it. And for anyone that wasn't with us last week, Melody was working on the truth teller is the aligned version of it, but first is like the one that indiscriminately says exactly what she thinks, right? To pull the medicine, to be able to be that truth teller. I love that. Already you're seeing fruits of it. Yes.
Thank you.
And not just for yourself, right? But then it did so much for your cousin. For it's like all, and this is the thing with the shadow, right? For whatever the shadow is that we're working on, we're pushing it away and we're pushing away for so many of those shadows because we're also scared that other people are going to hate us or it's going to impact them or they're going to think this, that, and the other of us. It turns out when we're using the medicine of the shadow, we're helping other people while we help ourselves.
Yeah. Thank you.
Kim.
Melody, that was such a powerful share. I have been traveling a lot. I'm super tired. And I've been hesitant to share because I feel like I'm just struggling with the shadow. So I had a class that I was promoting and the brat was like, I don't want to share. I don't want to promote this. I just don't want to. That I don't want to, so I'm not in the aligned energy, and I felt relief that the class didn't go, and I just have a lot of, I don't know, things going on that I haven't figured out.
I'm so glad you're bringing it forward and sharing, and you know we've been emailing the last few days, and I too am like so disappointed that with you that the class didn't happen. I have no agenda in asking this. This is out of curiosity. I could be wrong. Is it true that you're not in the aligned brat, or is it true that it really wasn't the right time for this?
I don't know. I go back and forth on that because I feel like it's been years, like I've been
I know,
putting off things, and it's like, really, it's still not the aligned time.
I know, that's why I like was hesitant to ask the question, because I know.
Yeah. But it very well could not be, you know, because I said I felt relief too.
Yeah. No, that's why.
Yeah,
it may be that there's a different way to do the marketing, like the brat. It might be that it's you're still like over here, right? And it's working with it more consciously to get more aligned. I think that's a piece of it for sure, right? Mm-hmm. And so there's more work.
Yeah.
And I also wonder if the brat was rebelling. I didn't get to read your last email, but I like skimmed. And so some of the human design or whatever you were talking about there, like, I do wonder if there was a rebellion towards the way that you were marketing it, because it wasn't right for you.
Mm-hmm.
And the brat was having a say in that. So I don't want to, plans. Like, I don't want to blame it all on that and be like, yeah, it's all good. And you're like, I do think it might be a little bit of both. Does that land?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
And if it does, and I know you're working on it, and I think it's about finding, look, marketing is like, we still have to get ourselves to, I have to also, right? So it's not that it's not going to be uncomfortable or feel like a thing sometimes,
mm-hmm.
but I do think part of this is about finding a way of marketing that is more aligned for you. Because that brat inside of you is one of your superpowers, and it is gonna like rage against it if it's not a way that feels right for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that perspective. It totally resonates that, because I was just questioning, like, why am I having such a hard time with this? Why is that voice coming up? Yeah. And just figuring out how to do that.
Yeah. So I think a good next step, so continue to work with the brat and lean in so that you can use it, right? Instead of it using you for the pieces that, right. But on a like marketing strategic note, if you're not already doing this, I would take a little time to assess the plan for that launch and whether you did all of the pieces, whether you did the piece or you didn't do the piece. What feels good in your system and what doesn't feel good in your system. Mm-hmm. And then for the ones that don't feel good, put it through another litmus test. Does it not feel good just because it's scary, or does it not feel good because really it doesn't align with my values and who I am?
Yeah.
And I think that will help inform whatever this vision of this more aligned marketing is, mm-hmm. for you. Does that, okay. something, yeah. that would be, yeah. useful?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And can I help you for one more minute?
Yes.
Can you come back into the aligned brat? What did we call the aligned brat? I can't remember.
I don't know if I had a word for
it. The hyper, the hypo. What would you do your evocation on? Was it related?
I don't remember having a name for it.
Arugula. Dave was writing arugula in the chat. Maybe that means something for you.
Arugula, yeah, represents the what we say in the improv world as being lighthearted about making mistakes.
Hmm.
You say arugula.
Is that the place in between, like, the brat and the one who doesn't stand up at all?
Hmm. I'm not sure.
Okay. Do you feel like you can come into that middle energy versus the hyper? For those of you that weren't at a shadow retreat, part of shadows, it's like a hyper hypo kind of situation. You come into that aligned place in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Continue to be with that for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
How would you describe this place, Ken? What is
this? This is the part that can speak what she wants and what she needs. And then there was that part about like not caring so much about what other people think.
Yeah. So continue to be with that feeling and that energy. What does this one want you to know about that last launch and the program not happening?
So I wasn't ready and I didn't really want to do it.
Does that feel true?
Yeah.
So that's why it didn't work. You didn't really want to do it, or at least that way, right? That
yeah.
way.
Yeah.
What's feeling important from all of this?
Just like the pressure I put on myself, and then this internal, I feel like I'm always fighting with myself, but maybe not really listening to what am I really getting at, or you know, I want to be leading from a place of I want this and this is the time, and as opposed to thinking I have to do something on someone's other timeline.
Beautiful. Good. I think a good exercise for you to work the inner piece is the hyper-hypo exercise. Mm-hmm. Going briefly to the ends and then coming back to that middle place.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Has anyone worked on it with a client yet? Or even if not like formally, right, just started to notice pieces with clients? Kelly, yeah, go ahead.
I've not done like the hyper, that's not true. I think I did like the hyper hypo version of that with a client, but it's mostly been just naming it. Well, two things. One, like naming when I see it, and it's like, I mean, it's both my work and their work, right? Because it's my bitch queen naming it. And she's really holding the space, but she's also holding the space of doing it for herself. So it's like, it's elevating me to speak it. And it has just been met with so much like clarity and yes energy and like almost ferocity on their parts. And I'm just feeling it's so potent and exciting because I just feel the up-leveling that's happening. And, you know, I mentioned the piece in the Q&A earlier about feeling people are in these two different phases. And one of them, I feel like the shadow work just took her from phase one to phase two. And it's really, it's so exciting. And it's like, yeah, claim that part of yourself. And it's just, it's really, really beautiful. And people are so open. And with some of them, it was right after we had done it. And I was still just in my own head. And I was like, hey, I just finished this. I would love to do this with you. I'm tabling it. I want, you know, I'm not ready because I'm too in it, but I would love to do this with you if that calls. And people are like, yes, 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 yes. So it's, yeah, it just feels very exciting and like a whole level of up-leveling and work with clients. So I'm very grateful for that.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad you're talking about it and mentioning it. And what you're speaking to is something that we looked at in the retreats, which is usually the shadow that we're working on is for most of our ideal clients, good medicine for them too, right? So even just to start to look for that, and which of our clients need that are in our groups, you know, we have good inroads in there.
And it's so leveling, right, of the playing field. So, yes.
Anything else that wants to be, I have a little teaching to do if we have time and space for it. But also I want to, you know, continue to just be led by all of you. Anything else that wants to be mentioned or questions anything like that. If not, I'll take us into a little piece. Wendy. You there, Wendy?
Yeah, I'm sorry. My new Zoom is like, it's hard for me to navigate. I just want to say that I practiced it a little bit with somebody actually this morning, and had her go into, you know, the other extreme from feeling not good enough, not worthy, all that kind of stuff, and had her like go to the other extreme. And at first she's like, it feels really silly, you know, like I said, well, like, get, you know, like, you know, accept the silly and see, you know, how you can. And she was able to feel it more, and she really like got into a posture. She visualized what she was wearing, what she was like on a cloud, like, and really had, like, you could see how empowered she felt. And we had to, unfortunately, we were like running out of time. So I asked her to do some journaling on that and to go, you know, to try to get into that body space, and feel that, and to try to do it like daily if she can, because I feel like we've like been in that other space and those pathways are so set in us that it's important to keep at it and doing the work daily to try to make those new pathways.
Yeah, I love it. I love that you are experimenting with it. Sounds like it was really powerful. And I want to pull on two pieces for all of us that you're sharing. One is that, as, and we looked at this in the retreat, some of it is supposed to feel silly, because the silly disarms us at first and allows us to go to that reviled place, right? The place that otherwise we'd be like, no effing way am I that. I would want to pretend to be that, right? So actually lighthearted, silly. Again, we think, oh, shadow work, it's so serious, but actually the lightheartedness is a strategy that helps disarm the defenses to be willing to go there. So I love how you handled that too. Like, yeah, just be okay with the silly, right? And yes, the practicing. So I love that you gave her that journaling homework. If someone is actually going to do it daily, it'll be a miracle, but, you know, maybe she'll do it a couple times a week or at least a few times, and that would be great.
Yeah. I just said like to journal on it, like the one time, and read it out loud. And, but to try to get into that posture more on a daily basis and to feel in, because yeah, I don't think she'll journal daily.
Much as she can.
Yes.
Good. What else? Thoughts, ideas, questions? Okay. So then I'm glad we have time for this other piece. At both the retreats, we looked at this briefly, and I want to just bring us a little, like go a little bit deeper into it. It relates a little bit to resistance archetypes, but it also, it has its own flavor. So we looked at the retreats at 5 or 6 different ways that we can spot a shadow in a client, right? We looked at projection, we looked at them feeling shame, we looked, right, like all the different pieces. And then when I gave the handout in the last day, there was an extra one that I put there. And I wish I had it in front of me. If somebody does, it's something like the practitioner feels like they've stepped into the shadow energy, something like that. I see some of you have it in front of you. If you can just say exactly what it says, it's that last point under on the first page on how to spot the shadow. Yeah, Caroline, go ahead.
The last one is you the coach, play into the shadow.
Yes, you the coach, play into the shadow. Thank you. I forgot the exact words that I used it. So I want to talk about this one a little bit more, because this can sometimes happen. We don't even necessarily need to do shadow work when this happens, although we can. But I want to talk about this concept of us as practitioner. This is an indicator that there's something that's being disowned by the client when we all of a sudden we feel like we're playing a role in it with them. And I want to give a couple of examples and break this down a little bit more. So let's say we have a client who has selfishness in shadow, right? They have disowned the part of themselves that is selfish, that wants, like, and I love what Veronica said earlier, the unclaimed desire for it too, right? Like, I want more. Now, remember, one of the other signs that shadow, that someone has something in shadow, is projection, right? Like, they see it in other people, you spot it, you got it, and it gets their goat. Well, what can sometimes happen is that the client can then project that shadow onto the practitioner. So in this scenario, selfishness is unrealized, it's disowned, but it's really desired, right? And then all of a sudden, maybe the client says in so many words to the practitioner, you practitioner are being selfish here with me, right? You're not giving me enough time, you're right, like this, that, and the other thing, right? So then the shadow gets projected onto the practitioner. And if the practitioner is not grounded, regulated, doing their own work, all of the sudden, the practitioner starts to question if they are in fact too selfish. Oh my gosh, are my rates too high? Oh my gosh, should I be giving more time? Oh my gosh, should I be responding to emails the day of? Right? It's like we've stepped into, now we're playing in, we're playing it with the, and we're holding the shadow on the outside for the client who isn't owning it. Does that make sense? Let me pause here. What's sparking for you? What's feeling important on this? What are you seeing in this? When have you done this? Or someone done this to you? I'll give another example. Let's say that the client is not taking responsibility for themselves in their own life. Right? So that's something that's kind of in shadow for them. They can't access it. They're not taking responsibility. Either being disorganized or not getting, right, taking that, whatever it is. All of a sudden, in session or over email or whatever it is with the practitioner, that's projected onto the practitioner. You practitioner aren't responsible enough, and that's why I'm not getting things done. Or you practitioner aren't organized enough, and that's why things seem so chaotic. And then all of a sudden, the practitioner is like, wait, am I not responsible enough? Have I not taken enough responsibility here with my client? What's sparking? What's feeling? Yeah, Caroline, go ahead. And I can't see everyone if you're raising hands. So also you can take yourselves off mute. Go ahead.
This is kind of the opposite. I don't know, but maybe there's something in here. But I had a client that I wrapped up with about a month or so ago, and I was getting so frustrated with her because she wasn't taking responsibility for the actions that she was taking. So she wasn't projecting it on me or anything. I don't know. Does that tie in here?
Right. So it's energy, right?
Okay.
So what's happening there is the hyper-hypo with you and your client. Uh-huh. She's being irresponsible and like, but it's in shadow. Mm-hmm. And then that's causing you to be controlling, at least in your mind.
I'm like, look, don't you see this
right here? So, right. Like, so that can also happen sometimes too, is like, we go to the op because shadow works in the extremes and the hyper-hypo.
Yeah.
We go to the extreme, right? The other extreme, which is kind of what you're describing here. She's so irresponsible and you're like, oh my God, control. I need to control this, right? I have to, right? So again, yeah, because it's energy, we end up in this dance,
yeah,
and then we play, you know, and that's why we want to kind of be grounded and see what's going on. But that's,
yeah, I know that there was something with this particular client that I felt it the whole time, and I knew something was off, but I couldn't quite pull it together. So anyway, this is a lot. This is good stuff to think about. Thank you.
So, well, take it? So now that you see it, like, let's say you were still working with the client, what mm-hmm. would you want to say to that client to start to co-create awareness?
Well, the things that I tried were, you know, why not just like stop doing this? You know, you don't have to do this at all. And so that, I think that was a turning point for her. She said that later, that she's like, no, I really want this. I really want this.
How could you and I love that, and that sounds great. And I'm going to press you even more.
Yeah.
How could you more explicitly co-create awareness for the client on mm-hmm. what was happening for her so that she could see it even more clearly with this being irresponsible?
Yeah. The questioning of, well, how did this happen? I tried the, you seem like you're so put together and da 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 da. So like the resistance archetype thing. What do you think is going on? I just wonder if I was doing it from more of a grounded energy I didn't want to take her on at the beginning. Like, I knew that.
So there you go, right there. Right.
Like, I feel like I was doing all the things, but I was like pissed.
Yeah.
So the whole time.
Okay. Good. So great awareness, right?
Yeah.
Great awareness. So yeah. that's the big shift.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good. But if you feel so, but this is such an important point I'm bringing up. Like, if we have as practitioners, feel out of our own energy with a client, like we're really pissed or we're really chaotic or we feel really small or like that's not our regular energy. This is part of what we're talking about here. It's like we've interacted with the energy mm-hmm. of the shadow in some way, right? And it's activated something. Yeah. Good.
Thank you.
Greg.
I'm not sure if this is exactly shadow, but it's definitely around resistance. A specific client of mine who I've seen on and off for years, and they've referred many people to me, and we were working a few months ago around something around a generalized fear of ours, but also a specific fear in terms of travel and in terms of health and how it shows up in our life. And we were talking about working on a traumatic incident from childhood and all the fears that came up around doing that. And we did talk about the resistance to that. And we actually spent many, many sessions talking about that, which that in itself was really, really super valuable. And I said to her, you know, it doesn't matter if we ever end up working. I mean, I think it would be valuable to work on this specific thing, but even if we don't, just the work that we're doing on talking about what comes up at the thought of working on it is really helpful. And so all that was great, but then she decided she wanted to work on it. And as soon as she decided she wanted to work on it, she got pissed off about something I did. I don't even remember what. And then I haven't seen her in a couple of months, and she's texted me a few times and said why, but I actually plan on reaching out to her today, but I've been like, all right, how do I want to approach this? And I have ideas, but I feel unsure because I want to be in a place of both able to acknowledge if I did something that didn't work for her, but also what I'm seeing in her of like this, all of a sudden when you decided you wanted to work on this, suddenly, you know, it's silence.
Yeah, absolutely. Did she tell you what she's upset at you for?
I don't even know that she is upset. Now, this was, I think if I'm remembering correctly, if it was at the end of a session where she wanted in that moment just to hear platitudes and light fluffy stuff, and I didn't go directly there, and you know, so she's like, that's not working for me right now, and I acknowledged, okay, that's not working for you right now, and but since that time, I mean, I think we talked about that, but since that time, it's felt.
Yeah. And does that relate to her fear? Like whatever you were going to work on, is there something around self-worth or validation or?
Yeah, I'm not sure, but I mean, one of the things that happens for her, we actually did work, we actually did do some more work after that, but what happens is she finds somebody else who's struggling, and you know, she's got a friend who's dying, or she's got this person who has no money, and she ends up putting all her energy into them. And so we end up working on the things that come up around that instead of working on what's going on with her.
So first you want to clear the air, which it sounds like you did, and you know, acknowledge. And then what I'd say when you reach out to her today, you can say something like, and in your own words, I'm just whatever, but you know, I've really missed you. It's been a while since we've been in session, and I've been thinking so much about you. I know that where we left off was we were just about to work on X, right? Whatever that big fear is. And it was so big and courageous for you to like say, yes, this is what I want to work on. And I might not be getting this right, only you know, but sometimes right after we say a big yes to a stretch, all of a sudden the fear gets even louder, mm-hmm. but we don't hear it as I'm scared. It just causes us to maybe pull back. And I'm just, you know, I'm wondering, do you sense any of that has been going on between you?
Yeah, that's helpful.
And just let her decide for herself after you lay it out that way.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, good. Vlada.
Great awarenesses here.
What's coming as a, what's resonating as an example like that for me is something that came through actually not with a coaching client, but with someone personal with my boyfriend, who I visited right after our retreat. And I was so excited to share with him about what the retreat was about. And he was very fascinated. He was asking me questions. And then soon after that, he started reflecting back to me something that at first I thought was a positive reflection. And then it turned out to be a critical reflection, as you're like, you're so relaxed. How can you be so like floating on a cloud?
And you were worried. I remember you were worried about that. Like that was the big thing, is how could you go in feeling luxurious and relaxed and all of that, where he's usually not in that space at all.
Yes. And to give him credit, he had actually done something that he had never done before in his own right. Like in that reality, people don't take vacation. In 38 years of his life, he had never taken vacation. Zero, like decided, and I am going to take 1 or 2 days. So he had actually cleared several days to just be together, and he cleared more time as we were going. And so this was very triggering for him, extremely triggering. Oh, also, he spent money that he barely has. So it was shocking to his system as well.
Right. And oh, sorry, go ahead.
No. Yeah. So it was very hard for me. It felt very hurtful on the moment. And I kept reflecting on that. And then my reflection came to like, but this is where I am. So I am willing to stand where I am. And that's if right. For whatever reason, so it was like an energetic adjustment for me. Yeah. So if that means that I and him are not aligned to be, I was basically, I came to the conclusion that I might have to let this go. But the more important part is my own alignment.
That's right.
And I kept communicating with him, and to my deepest and loveliest surprise, he's been coming around. We've been having much more connected understanding that we are in different realities, but that we care for each other, that we want to work on this, but we want to keep.
So exploring. This is...
Yeah. So and I find the parallel with work as well, where I have to stand in my full alignment. This is not, as much as I want this, this is not possible for me for whatever reason right now. So
yeah, there's two things I want to pull from what you're saying. So first of all, side, yay, that he's coming around, right? That's, you know, because it might not turn out. Right, but he is, so yay. But bigger yay for you standing in your alignment, right? So that's number one. And to bring it back to the practitioner point of view, when a client tries to like project that onto us, the best thing that we can do for ourselves and for the client and for their goals and for all of the things is, with love and compassion for everybody involved, stay in alignment, right? Mm-hmm. If there's a complaint, obviously we want to consider it, like Greg said, and make sure we're addressing it if we've done something. But otherwise, we want to stay in alignment. That's number one. And the best ways we can stay in alignment is continue to take care of ourselves, our nervous system, do our own inner work, right? Work on our own shadows. The second piece that you're speaking to, I want to pull on, because it's another way that this kind of dynamic that we're talking about can get expressed. So sometimes as a client starts to lean in to the thing that they thought they could and should never be because it's so gross, in the case of Lotta's boyfriend, we'll call him the client, like actually having some vacation. There's a discomfort in that, right? And what better way to rid yourself seemingly of discomfort than to project that terrible thing onto another person, right? So instead of your boyfriend sitting with, oh my gosh, I've taken some days off and I'm taking more days off and this is new for me and this feels taboo and it feels really uncomfortable, it's just so much easier to be like, Lotta, how can you be so relaxing, right? And projecting that discomfort outwards. So that's part of this whole kind of universe of dynamic that we're talking about here that can happen with a client. It's good to be aware of that. But in those moments, it's also like, yay, client, you're doing the thing that's uncomfortable, right? It just happens to be uncomfortable. So good. All right. Anything else before we wrap for today? I'd love to hear a last word or two on what you're taking.
Oh, I do have one question.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
That I meant to ask you at the retreat. I'm really fascinated with shadow now, and I was wondering if there's a book you could recommend to do more work on this, to learn more about it.
Yeah. So the way that I teach it, there are a couple answers. Number one, the way that I teach it at the shadow, like I need to write a book
because I know you do.
A lot of the ideas are not like the hype or the hype, you know, like that's just from me working with people for so long. So there's no mm-hmm. book that's going to cover all the things. Mm-hmm. That being said, the two things that I often recommend is number one, go back to the source, Jung, like read anything by, read the Red Book. Just read Jung because he has so much, like just every sentence is a golden nugget. And then the other thing is I really love, it's related to the work we did, but not exactly. I really love Debbie Ford. I have one of her books on my bookshelf. It's something Light Chasers is the classic one. I can't remember exactly what it's called. The Other Side of the Light Chasers, something like that. And you purchase the vice. So, and then I recommend a podcast, which I love, which is this Jungian Life for everyone. It's so good. And, one of the people from I haven't read that book, but The Vital Spark. So you have to let us know how it is.
Thank
the
you.
Dark Side of the Light Chasers. That's the Debbie Ford. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good. I think that's, I'm so glad you asked that. All right. I think that's a great place for us to end. I'm sending so much love to all of you. I'm around for whatever you need. And we're going to be talking about boundaries in 2 weeks. I can't wait. So I'll see you then, or maybe before then. Bye.